Let's pray, ladies. Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now and we lift up this session, Father. We thank you that you've brought each one of us here. You designed perfectly for us to be here this day. I pray that as Lori opens her mouth to speak, that she will be hidden, Lord, and it'll be your words to pour forth, that it'll edify us, that it'll build us up, that it'll teach us and train us, encourage us, and just lift us up in the way you want us to go, Lord. May we glean every single thing that you want us to glean in this next hour, Father. And we thank you for this time. And just put your hand on Lori right now, Lord, and just keep her calm and help her to just speak forth what you want her to speak, Lord. We thank you for all this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome, ladies. Is everybody settled in? Are you ready?
No.
We'll go ahead and start. My name is Lori Hansen. For some of you that don't know who I am, my husband is one of the pastors at Calvary Chapel, La Mirada. Just a few little personal things. I think that's it. I think most of you already know who I am. It's not a big thing that you do know who I am, but I just need to tell you this because it's going to be coming in the part of the testimony part. Last year was the very first time that I can say that something just like really happened in my life that rocked my world. It not only rocked my world, but it actually rocked the foundation that that I was on with the Lord. I've been saved for almost 25 years. A little over 25 years. I have stayed close to the Lord, making him first in my life. Well, of course, that's what I say. That's what I thought until this happened. Yes, through the years, and again, I'm not telling you this because I just think I'm this big spiritual person, but I've attended and led many Bible studies. I've taught at retreats before. A lot of you girls know on Monday nights, I lead the women's Bible study on Monday nights. I go to church all the time. I have a full prayer life. I pray all the time with my husband, and I even sing, worship, choir, things like that. But that's the funny part of it, because even though you can do all those things, or you think you're involved in all those things, it doesn't really mean anything. But something happened that gave me a divided heart. I know their workshop is an undivided heart, but this is something like, I'm going to explain to you first what happened, and then you can go ahead and do everything. The definition of divided, and I looked it up, is to separate into pieces or parts, to sever or cut off, to separate in an opinion or a feeling, and separate into sections. And that's exactly what happened to me. And I would like to share what this was. It was actually my son, Anthony. So a lot of you know from other things, just that know my kids and everything like that. And just to make a long story short, my son lives far away, lives in South Dakota, and I only get to see him and my husband about once a year. So either we go there or he comes here. So every year, in the beginning of the year, we clean out our calendar, we say, are you coming here, are we going there, or whatever. So I had waited all year thinking that Anthony was coming. Well, he was supposed to be here for a 10-day visit, and I remember it was probably in, August. And then September, he was supposed to be here in October. So about a week before, well, 2 weeks before he was supposed to come, and of course, you know, the plane tickets are paid for. We have this, you know, all the family get together and everything. I get a phone call that he was put in the hospital. Now, the ones that know my son, he's very healthy. He's been in movies. He does that whole acting thing, so he doesn't eat anything that he's not supposed to eat, because that's how he makes his money, is with his, you know, his looks, and it just really scared us, because he has never, even as a child, he was never sick. So what happened was, again, he was coming, he lives in South Dakota, so this is really crazy, but he comes from South Dakota to Las Vegas, he flies, and then we pick him up in Las Vegas, because it's cheaper, and then we drive back from Las Vegas to L.A., and that's what we do. So then after his vacation, we do the same thing. Get him back in the car, we drive to Las Vegas, and he flies to South Dakota. So when you guys hear me say that me and Phil are going to Las Vegas, it's to pick up our son. And we always justify that. Isn't that funny? It's like, we're going to pick up our son. That's why we're there. So when he was supposed to come and have this vacation with us, when they told me that he was in the hospital, it was just devastating, because they just said, he's not coming. And you know, and again, he had never been sick. They did not know what was wrong with him. But come to find out, he had a blood clot in his leg. And so they weren't really sure. I know a lot of you were with me through this thing. It was if he was going to come, if he wasn't going to come. The diagnosis, it was just really, really traumatic. Because again, this is a kid that nothing has ever happened to him. We really didn't know what it was. So they went ahead, kept him in the hospital for 2 weeks. And that wasn't too bad. Because after a while, they said, okay, we're going to let him come. You know, and in the meantime, you know, I'm the mom thinking, okay, he can't come here, so I'm going to go there, and I'm going to change this. And what do you mean, Phil, we can't fly? Come on. And then, you know, all this stuff. So I'm starting to try to change everything because I'm thinking, as a mom, not even being there. I mean, he is married. You know, of course he has a wife. But that was probably the only reason I wasn't on the plane, because I did say, you know, my husband and I discussed it, and he said, you know, if you didn't have a wife, then of course I would be there, but I am just the mother. And that's what happens. It's very hard sometimes to take the back seat when you're married, but that's just the way it is. And I love my daughter-in-law, so that helped her out. And I knew that she had that personality, that she was going to take care of business. Because I even told her, if I knew you weren't going to take care of business, I would have already been on that plane. I would have been taking care of business for everybody. But it worked out really well on that point. So we just decided to stay here. So he was in the hospital for about 10 days. And every day they had to check his blood. Because what happened to him, his blood had just gotten really thick. And he was had these blood clots in his legs. So he ended up being released in the meantime, and so I remember them telling him that he could fly. You know, people like that I know from the church and stuff, they're letting your son fly. And you know what? I didn't even think about the risk or anything. All I was thinking about is I want my son here.
Right.
I don't care. He said he can fly. The doctor says he can fly. There's no problem. So he ended up flying here. He ended up flying to Las Vegas, we ended up picking him up, we ended up bringing him home. We did the whole sightseeing thing. You know, we went to San Diego with the family. We were in bumper-to-bumper traffic, you know, for like 3 hours trying to get back and everything. Well, in the meantime, when he was here, he had to find a lab, and he had to go every day, you know, and have his blood checked. And then they would send his stats or whatever back to South Dakota, and then they would see how his blood was so they could diagnose, you know, give him how much medicine to take. So we're doing this every day, and everything seems to be really good. So, of course, Mom got her way, and he was here for 10 days, and we had a pretty good time, and except, you know, we had him in the wheelchair, we did all this stuff, and again, I was just trying to take control of everything. I didn't care what it was going to cost. I wanted my son there. I just wanted things to be done. So, we got back in the car. Again, are you thinking, we got back in the car, drove him all the way to Vegas, then he gets on a flight, and then he flies to South Dakota. So, after he was home, about 3 days later, he was put back into the hospital. And at this time, he had actually thrown two blood clots through. And then actually one of them went through his lung. To this day, he does have scar tissue for that. And they didn't really think that he was going to make it. They had him in ICU. Because to come to find out, they had misdiagnosed him the whole time. Because of the fact that he lives in a smaller town in South Dakota, the one thing was the machine that they were checking his blood daily was, it didn't even work. The batteries had been low. And they were reading him wrong. So here he's thinking that his blood is being thinned out, and it was actually thickening. Okay, so that was the first thing. The second thing was, he should have never flown. Because in the meantime, I had to back up just a little bit. When he came home, he was just like, yeah. I mean, like I said, it took about 2 weeks, and then he was just like out. And so my daughter-in-law, which I told you is very strong, well, says, you know, we're not going back to where you were. I'm taking you to the big city. We're going to take you to the city and find what's going on. So when they got there, they actually got a really good doctor that knew what was going on. And so they did find out that it was because the machine was broken. Another thing, they said he should have never, never gotten in an airplane.
Right.
They said that they were just amazed that he even made it through the flight. Not only the flight, you're not supposed to be in a car. No. You're not supposed to be jarred. You're not supposed to, any of these things happening. And you know what? I just saw the grace of God there because we did all this stuff. I mean, everything, and you know why? Because I wanted my son here. It was like, you know. But then again, so this time he was in the hospital for about 3 weeks, and yes, we finally said that he was gonna make it. They took him out of ICU, but they did say that he had a serious life-changing disease. He needed to get his blood thinned out again. So, and then in the meantime, you know, I'm praying and people are praying, and it's just like, yeah, I don't know. If maybe I'm just bad witness, but I don't know when people say they want to pray for you, you know, you're like sometimes okay, pray for me, but. Are you really listening to what they're praying? I mean, I know at that time it's just like, okay, I've already prayed this out. How many times do I need to pray for the same situation? You know, and then I would see different people and they'd say, oh, how's Anthony doing? It's like, you know, and you just, after a while, and I don't want to be rude, but you get kind of tired of just explaining it over and,
yeah.
and over. And so, you know, and again, that was on me. It wasn't on the body or anybody asking, because I know that they were really concerned. It was just somewhere that I was at that time. So then we got a phone call and they said that he had lupus. So then I went through the whole, oh my gosh, he has lupus, okay. But then they called back and said, no, he had leukemia. Well, kind of find out he didn't have any of this. And again, it's not really, it's just about I'm going to show you where I was during this whole time. Because you know what? Again, here I'm not really relying on the Lord. I'm not giving everything to him. It's just like, okay, what can we do? What can I do? You know, why? Oh, poor me. You know, oh, you know, whatever. So at the end, they ended up finding out that he has a disease that's called sticky blood. And it is, it's like a blood that gets thick. And so he will be on medication the rest of his life. And in the meantime, though, even this, you know, I'm going, oh, you know, poor me, because my son is actually right now, even though he was in the industry of entertainment, he's a chef by trade, and he works in a government facility where he's a chef instructor. So now we're thinking, not only he cannot ride horses anymore, he can't do his stunt work, he's working with a knife. So, you know, again, here's mom, you know, instead of, you know, giving it to the Lord, saying God can do all things, you know, I'm trying to fix everything, you know. So during this time, again, I put, he was in the hospital, my thoughts were nothing of God, but all on me. And it was about me. And now I'm even looking back, and I was kind of selfish, because I don't even think it was, I know a lot of it was on my son, but then again, it's like, well, you know, poor us, poor me. So, and during that time too, it was more like I don't know if any of you have gone through something. I mean, to me, that was really, you know, devastating, where you're just kind of numb, and you're just kind of going through it. And again, you know, people would ask, oh, how is he? Oh, you know, and we'd say, oh, he's fine. Oh, thank you for your prayers. You know, and you're just like, yeah. But, you know, God, where are you during this whole thing? Because it just didn't seem like he was there. So that's what I put. I put, people would ask me how Anthony was doing, and they would pray with me. But the prayers felt powerless. Now, were the prayers powerless? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It was me that was powerless. I was powerless because I didn't put Christ first. I was trying to love my son, or trying to fix my son by myself, instead of doing, like, putting Christ, you know, first and then our son. Because that's the order that's supposed to be. So I was powerless without Christ, not letting him work, not clinging to him. And this is the funny part, because this is why I'm going back to tell you, for years I have been in women's ministry, I have preached to women, I have counseled women, and at that point it's like, you know, I was not practicing what I preached. I mean, how many of us sit there and say, okay, this is what you need to do. You need to get in the Word. You need to do this. But then when it comes to us, you know, and I had one of my sisters say, hey, excuse me, aren't these the things that you have taught us through these years, the things that we need to do to get you through this storm? And you know what? I'm glad that she called me on the carpet, because, you know, I was actually starting to have a pity party. I was actually saying, you know what, that's right. If God has given us, you know, these things to do, we need to help each other. We need iron sharpens iron. And I need to practice what I preach. Not that we're all perfect. And again, you know, that's what I was trying to show you. We don't all have it. We don't all have it, but we do have it with Christ. So I think that was the point of that. Again, my husband and myself, we pray daily for our children. We pray all the time to have a strong walk with our God. But then again, what path does God choose for our children to use? Of course, like that little picture. It's really cool, because when you do teachings and like this, you'll see at the end, there's a lot of things that were in these notes that the Lord had given me that we have already discussed, even in worship songs, a song that Crenshaw had sang. One of the things I'm going to dissect here, when I just saw that on the screen, I was crying, because it's like, Lord, you were just even so faithful then to tie everything together. Because it's scary. It's intimidating to come up here. You know. Because again, even the enemy says, oh, is this really from him? Is it from me? But when he gives you those confirmations, it's that joy, and it's just like, okay, Lord, I believe this was from you. So again, when we pray for our children or our loved ones and stuff like that, it's like, what is the path that the Lord chooses to use? Because both of my children are not walking with the Lord. Are they saved? I mean, I believe they were raised with it, and that's what the Word says. But right now, they both basically have the Lord on the shelf, and they're just too busy. And that's where we were at one time. I don't know if all of you at one time, me and my husband were there. And it wasn't until, you know, it was time for us. So we continually prayed for them. So I just put, do we really trust? Do we really believe the promises that he has for us? Do we apply what we know, not what we feel when trials hit? And that's exactly what happened to me. Again, you know, I always tell the ladies, you know, get into the Word, pray with each other, you know, and all this stuff. And then when it came, it was almost like I wanted to isolate myself. You know, I was going through the motions. I was still going on Monday nights, because the girls know, and I was teaching, but I was just basically going through the motions. I'm saying, okay, this is what can happen, but can it really happen? So it wasn't until Anthony was released and back to the road to recovery, that was about 2 weeks after he got back in the hospital and he got the proper medical care, that I realized how divided my heart was. Because during the last few months, it was in my quiet time, and some of you know, I don't know if Natalie's in here. Is she in here? No? Oh. I have this chair in my house, and that's, I've shared before, and that's just kind of my quiet time. I go in that chair, and that's just where me and the Lord just, you know, and sometimes Natalie's always like, well, you're in the chair, and I was like, yeah, I'm in the chair. So, and it was funny, because it was in my quiet time, I started thinking back, what if? Okay, what could have happened to Anthony during these mistakes with the doctor? Even on the news, there was some rapper, I don't know, Big Daddy something, I don't know. But that's what happened to him. I mean, seriously, they said he had passed away. He had the same exact disease that my son was diagnosed with, and the air flight is what killed him. So I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what if that was him? Oh, it could have been this. And we put him on the plane. So that's what I said. It was so funny. Because that's what I thought. So I was thinking about all the mistakes made by the doctors. You know, all this. And of course, you know, this is probably so bad. And this is tape. Can you drop the tape? You're going to sue them, right? You're going to make sure that they compensated you. Because in the meantime, I mean, seriously, I mean, here, you know, the machine wasn't working. It was just so, oh, and then to go back, even the nurse, I was telling Olga that was supposed to, the doctor, she wasn't even a doctor. She was like a nurse practitioner that was taking care of him. So just all these things were happening. So I remember just sitting there saying, okay, what could happen? What would have happened, you know, with the mistakes by the doctor, all the car travels, all the airplane rides? I mean, we were in Old Town San Diego, bumper to bumper, on a Friday coming home. I mean, bumper to bumper, bumper to bumper. I mean, all those things. And again, I started to get really scared, and because, you know, the enemy knows our weak link. We all have a weak link. We all do. And it's not that I love my son more than my daughter or vice versa, but, you know, it's a mother's children. It's just, you know, so... And he knows that. And I started to get really fearful. And I was like, what if? Now, what if this would have happened? And I'm like that, too, with earthquakes. I'm really good during disasters and things like that. I know some of you are like that. And then after it's over, that's when I fall apart. It's like, oh, my gosh, you know. But anyway, this is when I knew. This is when I knew that the Lord had tell me this. He, I mean, again, when you say that you hear the Lord, it wasn't like I audibly heard him say, glory in your chair. No, he said, you know when the Lord's speaking to you. And this is what... the word that he had given me. He said, do not dwell on what could have happened, but on what did not happen. Mm-hmm. What did not happen. And you know, even just rereading that, it brings tears to my eyes. He said, yes, you know, yes, I was there. You know, I'm just kind of paraphrasing this, and Lord, forgive me, but, you know, but because it's kind of hard to share with people what the Lord's really put in your heart. So, you know, it's like, didn't you see me working? Could you not trust me with this? Is there anything too difficult for me? And at that time, again, I just basically said, you know, Lord, you stay behind me. I don't want you to take care of this. You need to stay behind me at this time. So again, at this time, I started reflecting back to the whole 2 months. And boy, I mean, I was really on a roller coaster. And again, girls, you know what? Again, I'm going to practice. You know, I'm going to preach to you girls. And this is for myself, again. No matter what trials and things, we need to stay focused on the Lord. And again, just with that picture with the little girls, you know, about looking at this, you know, not looking at the storm, but looking, again, we have to do that. We, no matter what comes our way, we have to continually to focus on the Lord. So I remember at that time, I was really grieved. I just remember, it really brought tears to my eyes. And theologically and stuff, like, I know that we can't disappoint God because he loves us so much. But you know what? That was probably the first time that I really felt that I disappointed him. You know, I was just like, oh Lord, how could I let you down? How could I have done that? How could I have not put you first? But then again, you know, the Lord was good. And then in the same thing, I was thankful because again, you have that other, oh, see Natalie, there she is. No. Is that Natalie? No, come on, Natalie. Anyway, how we have that balance, that you need that balance. And even though I was grieved, I was thankful that I do have a Lord, and we all have a God, that when we are faithless, he's always faithful. So that was really good. So again, that day, I felt better. I felt a peace about, you know, my son and stuff like that. And again, I know that I just went through this. It was more for myself. So what did I say? Okay, so the scripture... the scripture that the Lord gave me for teaching this year was Psalms 119:5 in the New American Standard. And I'm just going to read it to you. It is, this is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me. And that's what the Lord showed me, because if I would have got into his word, I wouldn't have been able, and did what I know that I should have done, what was supposed to do. If I would have done that, I don't want to say I think, I wouldn't have went so far this way. And again, it's like that little path that Angie had said. You can just take that little path, you know, the wrong way, and it can take you in a whole different direction. So this is exactly what I needed. I needed renewing of my mind. So again, when I looked at the words, affliction is to distress with mental or bodily pain. Well, actually, you know, as a mother, I did have bodily pain. I was sick. I was sick to my stomach. I was mentally, it's like I couldn't focus, you know, even at work. And it's just, I was just consumed on the negative instead of seeing what the positive could be. Let me see. Revile means to renew in the mind. And that's another thing, girls, you know, again, it's just a lesson for me. This is for me, again, but I'm sharing for you. When that gets into your mind, you need to take every captive, you know, every thought captive. You need to take it and don't let the enemy run with it. You know, I mean, I had my son in the grave. I mean, you can't imagine the things I was thinking. It was terrible. And again, so it says, I put a renewing of my mind, replacing my fears with truth. Again, what is truth? The truth is the Word of God. So my rock, my foundation, my deliverer in times of need. So what happened is I have these little CDs, and inside, if you pull them out, it has the words to the CD. And it was really funny because the Lord, during this whole time afterwards, I hadn't heard this song for years. And, you know, Sherry was able to sing it last night. And I told Sherry that she sang it beautifully. But this is a song that the Lord had given me. And you know, if you ask all and stuff like that, He gives you a song. And he gave me the song. And it was so cute because I had already figured I was going to do this and everything. And then when I talked to Lisa, I goes, I want that song for retreat. And I said, no, that's my song. It was so funny because I wore the sewing things. And she goes, what? And I said, that's my song. The Lord gave me that song. She goes, no, it's all of our songs. She said, the Lord belongs to all of us. So anyway, so that's it. That's why you have that. But if you could take out the little cards, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through actually the lyrics. And this is why I want to put the spiritual aspect to you know, the scriptures and things to the song. And that's why I gave you each a copy. Because this is just really, now when I hear it, it's like I grieve a little bit still, and I know the Lord has, you know, I know that I didn't disappoint him, but in the same sense, it just reminds me of where I came from, and I need to remember that. So if you want to go ahead and take it out, in the very first one, it says, if I'm to be whom you desire, okay, all throughout my life. So the thing that I'm just picking out certain things that the Lord has shown me is that to desire. So what does the Lord desire of us or of me? So if you can go ahead, and we're going to look up a few scriptures on this one. We have Matthew 22:37. And, you know, I like when people kind of interact, so whoever wants to read that can go ahead, and if you feel free, just go ahead and read that, the scripture. Somebody wants to read that? 22:37.
I'll read it.
Please go ahead and read it out.
Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind.
Okay, the next one is Mark 12:30. Go ahead.
And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment.
Okay, and then the last one is Luke 10:27. Sorry, go ahead. You girls can just read it out. Because I have a lot more. Anybody want to read it?
He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and love your neighbor as yourself.
Okay, did you girls see anything? Did you notice, even though it's three different, did you notice what happened? It was building on each other. And this is one of the things that I saw. It built because at the first one in Matthew, it says love the God, your God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. And then in Mark, it said love your God with your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And then again in Luke, it's how it builds. It says, love the Lord with your heart, your soul, your strength, your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So I just thought that was really interesting. I mean, again, you know, it's like when we witness something or when the Lord speaks to us about something, he might give somebody else a little bit more detail or whatever. But I just thought that was interesting how everyone, it kind of built. It was one thing was added and one thing was added. So that is something that the Lord does desire of us. Another thing is Philippians 2:13. If we can turn to there, please. Philippians 2:13. Go ahead. You can.
For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose.
So that's one of the things that the Lord desires of us, is for us to be for his, that's why we were here, for his good purpose. So I just wanted to ask some of you ladies, what do you think it is? I mean, or what do you know the truth is that the Lord wants us to be? Who does the Lord want us to be? Who does he desire for us to be through our life?
More like Jesus,
more like him. Anybody else?
A lover of God, a lover of people.
Mm-hmm.
His disciples.
Exactly. So that's one of the things. And again, it's a personal thing where the Lord shows you. So the next verse we're going to go down to, or what is it called? Lyric? Is it a verse? In the song? Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. Okay. Line?
Verse, stanza, line.
A stanza, whatever. Okay. You can tell me. Okay. A vessel unto honor, Lord, to thee. So the word that I chose on that was a vessel. And I looked this up, and again, the definition of a vessel is any object used for any purpose. So again, that's all of us girls. You know what? We all can be that vessel that the Lord wants us to use. And I want to go ahead and back that up as far as being a chosen vessel. It's in 2 Timothy 2:20 to 21, if somebody would like to read that.
In a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes, and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made wholly useful to the master and prepared to do any good work.
So see, ladies, that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be a vessel. And I like it how the word says that. Some of us are clay, and some, we're just all different. And you know what? As I look just among this room and just everybody here this weekend, we're all different. The Lord uses us in different ways, and we're all different vessels. So that was real encouraging. So we're going to go to the next line. It says, and before your throne to hear you say that you say that I have done my part. So again, the words that spoke out to me was that I have done my part. So what is our part? So these are some of the scriptures I'd like to share. If someone would like to read Matthew 25:21. Anybody have it?
His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.
Yeah. And another one is 2 Timothy 4:7. And the reason I want to go through this is because the song was sang, a song yesterday. It's just so, when you really do take a worship song, you really break it down with scripture, and you really apply what it really means. You know, again, you guys are probably thinking, I'm never going to Bible study, you teach. Because, you know, sometimes I do too. I just sing the lyrics. I just sing because I know the words. So, there's times where I'm in the throne room, and there's time I'm singing, thinking, okay, I got to go to the market, I got to go to the cleaners, and I'm going to confess that. So this was really good, is when I did break this down, the Lord just really showed what he was trying to say. It was actually Dan Marks is the original person that wrote this. He has gone to be with the Lord. He was one of the worship leaders at Calvary Chapel Downey. But since then, he has gone home to see Jesus. So.
Yes.
Okay, 2 Timothy 4:7. Does someone have that?
I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what, that's our part. It's just to fight the good fight, to try to finish that race, just to try to keep going on. And so then if you have your little card, it says, Lord, I need an undivided heart. So I went ahead and just skipped that because I kind of shared what a divided heart is and what an undivided heart is. Okay, that I might know you. So I looked up the word know you in a dictionary, and it says that the word for know you means to discern, to comprehend, to understand. So how do we know the Lord? Now you guys, I'm going to throw this out. So how do we know the Lord? What are some of the things?
Reading his word.
Exactly. D? Okay, anybody else?
Believing on him.
Correct.
I mean, it's supposed to be to know someone in, is to have intimacy mm-hmm. with them. I mean, deep intimacy with them. So you really
got to know them. So the one thing that really stood out to me is the scripture about how do we know the Lord? And that's exactly what I said, through prayer, through the work that he's already done, through the miracles that he's already done in our life. I mean, again, that's where you can have that revival in your heart. You know, sometimes we could have a pity party, oh, is this going to happen? But just look back, journal. That's another thing I've shared with you girls through the years, journal. And when you feel those times, and you know, and again, you know how many journals I have on my kids that I've journaled during this time? Now, this came to me right now. I probably, if I could have just pulled out those journals, I wouldn't have probably been as in despair as I was this whole thing, because I could have went back and saw all the years that the Lord had brought him through high school and girlfriends. Just, you know, you guys have kids, all that stuff. But I didn't. I didn't. So, again, that was one of the things. The one I like is John 10:2-5, if someone can read that. This is the one that stuck out to me.
What is it?
John chapter 10, verses 2-5.
The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opened the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them on. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead and leads them, and his sheep follow because they know his name, his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him. They do not recognize a stranger's voice.
And you know, that was really tricky, because I've always loved that, how the sheep, you know, when I read it, how the sheep, we know the shepherd's voice. And again, it's, I don't know why I'm going back to my son, but he does live in South Dakota, and he has a big spread, and he has goats and everything. And I remember the first time that we went to visit him, he got out of the car, and he's just going, come on, so-and-so, Daisy, or whatever. And here come these goats. I mean, they were literally, they came, they knew his voice. And it was so cool, because even Pastor Phil goes, like that scripture, I go, I know, and it was, because it's true. You know, and that's the what I really like about this, is that we know that we might know him. We know that we will know the shepherd's voice. If we are we intimate with him, if we know his word, if we're in word prayer, when he's talking to us, we will know it's his voice, because we are his sheep. And I just thought that was really cool. Okay, so we're gonna keep going. We still have time, this is going good. Okay, that I might serve you. That's the correct, that is the next line. Okay, definition, to act like a servant. So the word that I pulled out of there is to serve, okay? So what does serve mean? It's to act like a servant, to render, to respect, to honor, and obedience. So again, I have it marked, a little group discussion. Okay, how do you define serving the Lord? How do some of you serve the Lord?
Obedience.
Mm-hmm, obedience.
Spreading his word.
Okay, evangelism. Joyful.
Yeah.
And again, this weekend was just a really good example about the retreat. And I know this is like more of a works or attended, but it's like, again, serving. How many people were asked last night to stand up that were here, that it had one little part of this retreat? And you know, that's what it is, Lord, girls. It's not just one person doing everything for the Lord. It's all of us. We all, and no part is minute. There was not one thing that was too small for anybody. Because again, even the carpooling, and everything, every little stitch that was made, all the little gifts, the person passing out these, everybody here. And that's, you know, our heart's desire. So next year, so if you guys want to serve, if you want to get, you know, things going, just see one of us. And we would love to plug you in. Because you know what? It is. It's an excitement. We had some new girls serving and some this year. And it was good. It was good to see new ladies. Were there some things that maybe didn't work out perfectly? Yeah. But you know what? I started somewhere, we all started somewhere, and that's, again, so that was just about serving the Lord. So the next line is that I might worship you as king. So if we could turn to Psalms 95, 3-7, please. If somebody wants to read that. And that's the word that I took out, was worship you as king.
Which psalm?
Psalms 95. Verses 3-7. Somebody want to read?
For the Lord is the great God, and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice.
So there it is again. He is. He is. He's the one that made all things, so he is the King. But I want to share this one. Now, this is the part that I just really, it's really good. It's, the next verse, if you go to it, says, to see the morning star. Now, this is the whole thing. When Crenshaw today sang that song about the morning star, I was tripping out. I said, okay, Lord, I know that's the word for me. Because, I mean, how often do you hear that verse? I mean, the morning star. Of course, in this song, because it was brought back to me. And when I saw, I mean, seriously, sometimes, you know, when you see people crying and stuff, you think, oh, they're broken. And all. No, it's, sometimes it's tears of joy. And I knew. And again, I'm not saying this is a great, awesome, whatever, but I'm just saying when he said it, it's like, he said to me, you're going to be okay. It's going to be okay. So this is what's really cool. The word I pulled out is the morning star. And this is like probably the whole key to this song for me. And it said, and I looked in the commentary, and first let's skip to the reference, so that way you guys know that it's not something I'm making up. So in Revelation 2:28, please, if someone wants to go there. And read the scripture. Let me say that it says my husband Patrick always says, is that the New Testament or the Old Testament? That's a joke, sir. Okay, so Revelation 2:28, somebody.
And I will give them the morning star.
Okay, so I just want you girls to see, and then Lisa, can you also read, honey, in Revelation 22:16? That the morning star is mentioned in the Bible.
I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star.
Okay, so I wanted to know, what is the morning star? So I went ahead and I kind of dug in, and this is what the commentary said. It says, the Lord Jesus is the bright morning star. A morning star, which they actually there are, appears just before dawn when the night is the coldest and the darkest. Now see, that part I didn't know. I knew that there was actually like a morning star, and I figured it was going to come up before the morning. But it comes out when it's the coldest and the darkest. So this is what was really trippy. And it says, when the world is at its bleakest point, exploiting the evil, with his light of truth and salvation, he will be bringing his promised rewards. And that's exactly that. He spoke everything, you know, and that's what he's saying. The Lord, that's our morning star. So, you know, no matter what we're going through, or even at the end, and again, I don't want to get into the doom and gloom of the book of Revelation, what's going to happen. But again, that's how he's our morning star. And even when the world gets to the point where it's just can't go on anymore, he's going to come. And he's going to come and get us. And then that's when we're going to be raptured. And that he is our morning star. So again, if you... here's group discussion. I'm a little blue. Okay, what is God to you? Does anybody just want to kind of... Are you laughing at me? I like most people. So, to you,
my heart. Okay,
there's so many things.
My rock, my refuge.
Mm-hmm.
The key to my life.
Oh.
Show my father.
Uh-huh.
My father.
Okay.
My friend.
Exactly.
My salvation.
Okay.
Protector.
Yes.
My savior.
Mm-hmm. There's just so many names. We could probably sit up, 2 hours and just keep going on and going on about who the Lord is to us. And again, he's the morning star. He is the one that's going to come right before when things get the darkest and the coldest. So then the next one is, if I'm to live in truth and love, to glorify your name. So I went ahead and looked up the word glorify. It means to honor, praise, highly worship. And again, we kind of touched with Angie today about what is truth. And if we want to go ahead and go through the scriptures, if somebody wants to read John 14:6. We're going to go ahead and do the scriptures on truth, and then we'll go ahead and do the ones on love.
Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
So that is the truth. So we are to live in the truth. And another scripture is John 8:31-32. Anybody can just read it out?
Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
It set us free. See, I mean, going back even to that little testimony part of me, I mean, the truth would have set me free. So if I would have not dwelled on my feelings or what could have happened or all these things, or even on the doctors or the medical, I mean, again, you look back, they said, the doctor that he has now did say, my son shouldn't have made it. I mean, like I said, he still to this day, when he coughs, he has pain, because they said he actually has scar tissue where the blood clot went through his lung. They said, usually they don't make it. That's like rare that they make it, you know. Aneurysm? Yeah.
Embolism
is that what it's called?
Embolism.
Yeah. So even then, that's really cool. So, and then we're going to go ahead and do the part on love. If somebody could please look up John 13, 34 through 35. 13.
A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.
So then back to that verse, if I'm to live in truth and love, to glorify your name. So right there was like three, you know, key parts. We need to glorify the Lord, we need to be in truth, and we need to be in love. And that was one of the words. It's to show God's love is by the way that we treat one another. And that was one of his the commandments. So the last thing it says is, well, second to last thing, if it's for a living sacrifice to be. So again, this is Romans 12:21. This is a very familiar passage, I'm sure, with a lot of you. So we'll go ahead and read that one, please. I'm sorry, but the lighting in here is really bad up here. You can go ahead.
Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
What was 12 1?
Yeah, 12. Chapter 12, 1 through 3.
1-2.
1-2.
1-2?
Uh-huh, please. Chapter 12.
When I beseech you, brethren?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Exactly. So I kind of looked this up because I wanted to dig a little bit deeper in this, and then again, this was touched on over the weekend, that we are to be called to a different lifestyle when we are to be a living sacrifice. When believers offer their entire self to God, a change will happen in the relationship to this world. I mean, it should. And again, you know, we're not perfect. We're not, you know, we're going to have thoughts. We're going to do things. But again, you should see some kind of change that's different than where you were when you were full-blown into the world. It says here, Christians are to live, I like this one, Christians are to live as citizens of a future world, not of this world. And again, it says, and also in the way we think. And again, this was just added, the Lord had just given me this. It's also the way that we think. So it's not just by our actions. It's not by just, you know, like me walking around in a little pity party or whatever. It's what's in our heart. It's in our heart, and only God knows what's in our heart. Because I know of some of you that are in here, when I was going through this time, I know that you prayed for me. You guys who have been around me, you guys were always together. And I'm sure on the outside, I just look like, oh, I had it all good, oh, praise the Lord, God's in control. Again, so it's what we do that's in our heart. And only God knows that. So, you know, ladies, again, that's just something that we need to check. So at the end it says, and to serve, to share, oh, let's go back, and to share the joy, the grace, the peace your spirit does impart. And, of course, that's Galatians 5:22, which is the fruit of the Spirit. And we are setting that over on Monday nights with and on Wednesdays with our thing. And so if someone would like to read Galatians 5:22.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness.
And I didn't even know that Linda's going to be here, but I want, if you, am I going to put you on the spot?
I can do it.
On Monday nights, we're trying to learn the fruit of the Spirit. And the only ones that me and Heather kind of is self-control. I know that one.
Patience.
Patience. Wait a second. Do you want to go ahead and tell them? This is a little sidebar, you guys.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law.
Wow. Pretty cool, huh? Pretty cool. Yay.
Yeah.
So right now what we're going to do is we're going to play the song. I really want us to worship together. I want to sing the song together because I just hope that it blesses you the way it blessed me when the Lord, like I said, again, that's one of the reasons if we can sing this together, you'll probably see it a different way. Like last night I was like bawling every time. Like, why is she crying? What's the big deal? But again, it's just... When you do this and you know that the Lord has given you something and you really take it to heart and you know that it's God's word, the worship song is just a little bit different. And so I would really like for us to, and you gals have a copy. I gave you all a copy. And if we can go ahead and sing it. We won't do a cappella. We have music. And then I have something else to say and then we'll go ahead and we'll be done. Of course! Yes, of course. This is a Maranatha. I just want to say I still don't know if the Lord gave me that song. I'm not really.
Okay.
Anyway, but I want to share with all of you because, you know, that's how he is. I know, and I do. I just wanted to share that with you, and I hope it blesses you. But in closing, I would like to leave you with this. To lead others out of the darkness, let them see our light, just like our Jesus, our morning star, does when things seem to get their darkest. So ladies, thank you. And if you need prayer, if there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior, we have people here that will be able to pray for you. If you need prayer, we have prayer counselors that are in the room and things like that. So again, I just want to thank you for coming. I have to say, enjoy your TV, and to praise the Lord. So, God bless you.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you.